Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And of course, today I'm going to bring you another incredible story. Not only is she a Lyme patient, she's a patient advocate, which I think is huge. She's a health coach. She's an author. She has a current book out titled Kicking Sick. And in 2026, so soon, you'll be able to find her second book, But You Look Fine, which I think that is a fabulous title because I'm sure any of you listeners have heard that a million times, right? It's this invisible illness that we deal with that I think can make things a lot harder than they already are for us because we get ridiculed by, I guess, looking good when the inside of us is far from good. So I'm excited to hear her story. We're not only going to talk about her own personal journey, but we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into the whole mind-body-spirit connection. You know, oftentimes people get this diagnosis finally after years and they're like, okay, let me just kill. And truly, that's not what's going to get you well. It really is a layer. It is a process to go through this journey. And a few of these things we're going to talk about are a big piece of that process. So I hope you guys just find this as fascinating as I know it's going to be. So I'm super excited to welcome Amy Kurtz to the show. Amy, thank you so much for joining me. I'm really looking forward to taking a deep dive into all this stuff. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So where do we start? Like, do you even know when it started, right? Oftentimes we don't. So
you mean when I first started having symptoms?
I think so, yeah, because I think you dealt with it from childhood, right? Like just all these random things and so many, many years to get a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. It's been decades to get correctly diagnosed. And for me, I was just such a sprightly little girl. I was so full of energy. I wanted to be involved in everything my sisters were. I didn't want to miss a second. I never wanted to go to bed earlier than everyone else. I just was like so full of life. And around the age of 14, I went to pick up my math textbook off the floor and I had a shooting pain, like an electrical current go up my spine. And I had never felt anything like it. And it was hard to stand. And then that moment just completely shifted my life from being a carefree child to a teenager or a tween in constant pain. And so my whole life axis shifted because I had to figure out why I was constantly in pain. And this was in the 90s, and my father's a Western-minded physician, and I was lucky enough to be able to go to many specialists, but nobody ever suggested Lyme disease. And I grew up in the Lyme Belt. I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia, and nobody had ever even talked about it. And I went to a neurologist, I went to a pain management specialist, I went to multiple doctors, and nobody could ever figure out what the root cause was. And so unfortunately, the answer was to put me on medication to help me feel less acute pain. So I was on a lot of anti-inflammatories, and that's really my life just adjusted to living with this new normal. And then I would say just things would just be harder for me growing up after that. Like I got mono in college, and I got it 10 times worse than everybody else. And then I would go out with my friends and try to be a young person and have fun. And it would take me days to recover when my other friends are back at class at 7 a.m. the next morning. And it just, I just felt, well, I guess this is just me. And then when I was 25, I had graduated college. I went on a trip to Israel called Birthright. And that's an amazing time in most people's lives where they're just discovering who they are and who they want to be and creating, you know, taking agency over their life. And I unfortunately got extremely ill when I was there. I think the tipping point was that I ate something that didn't agree with me. And what happened was so intense and so fast. I gained 30 pounds in 30 days. I couldn't keep food down. I couldn't go to the bathroom. My hair was shedding. I had hives all over my body and I could barely like take a deep breath. And it was in that moment where I was climbing to the top of a mountain or trying to in Israel. And I was behind the most elderly people in the group. And I just knew something was so alarming in my body and that I had to listen to it right that moment. So I went home. I ended up having to move back home with my parents. And my life became about trying to manage the medical maze and figure out what was so acutely wrong. I mean, my body was like in a strike three or out, and it was very serious and it demanded all of me. And so my life became being a young adult to being a professional patient. I went to so many doctors. I'm now on my 36th doctor, and this is the person who finally got the right diagnosis. But Before that even happened, I found out I had hypothyroidism and a parasite infection, and all of these things were real and true. However, nobody ever really figured out what the root cause of all these exacerbating symptoms were. And I learned how to tread water, and I felt better enough because I had done some things that had really helped, like a thyroid. If you have a low thyroid, anyone who has that knows you're exhausted if your medicine's not right or if you don't have the right levels. And so things made me feel better, but not better enough. And I couldn't even see that at the time.
That is crazy. And you poor thing. I mean, it's horrible enough to go through this journey, right? And to go through all the doctors and to get gaslit and just all the stuff. But this started so young for you. And, you know, those are a lot of our molding years, right? Yeah. And such impactful years in our lives. And to have to kind of single yourself out, yourself saying, I guess I'm just different. You know, that really has to just take a toll on someone and kind of just change the whole trajectory of what their life was or what their life will be, you know? And so I think that that is such an important piece because we oftentimes don't realize traumas that we've been through, healing those traumas, you know, analyzing and breaking them down, dealing with them, feeling those emotions from a trauma are such a huge part of this healing journey. Mm-hmm. And that right there for you, Amy, I would say was one of the big traumas, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you realize it or not, obviously at the time you didn't, but that's huge. And so, I mean, kudos for you for just getting past that. You know, and not letting it be poor me, you know, I'm not going to have friends. I'm not going to do this because I'm different. And you weren't different in your mind, right? Just your body was different. And that's not okay. And that's why it's just so important to always remember in life, whatever you're going through, don't be judgmental. Don't judge people. Don't judge a book by its cover, right? Because so many of us are going through things that no one could imagine. And so we just all need to be kind and give each other grace. And so anyways, okay, sorry.
Thank you for saying that.
To say that because your journey started so young.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I feel like invisible illnesses are just that. They're invisible. And the experience of the patient can be so isolating and lonely because people think if you are sick, you should look sick. And that's so not the case for so many patients with Lyme disease or other invisible illnesses. And so there's a real separateness between you and the rest of the people that you know, because you almost feel like, do I need to convince you of this?
Yeah. It's like a full-time job to treat ourselves, and it's almost a full-time job to
manage,
convince others, right?
Yeah.
That we are sick. And that was interesting that you brought up that it's lonely. And so I know that many of us are truly alone in the fact that we don't have friends or family that support us, right? I get that. It's heartbreaking. But let me tell you, for me, I had all the support in the world. Like my friends and my family, they just knew something was wrong with me. They knew it because I wasn't who I used to be, even though I didn't have a diagnosis. But I guess my point of this is, with all the support, I was still so lonely. I felt so alone because it wasn't the support of people who's been there, right? You don't get it till you get it. And so I think no matter how much or how big of a cheerleading section you have along this journey, which is fabulous, I wish we all had one, it still is just a lonely and very isolating disease.
Well, yeah, and it's incredibly sidelining. I mean, it really, Lyme disease demands all of you and it takes everything from you. And so the only things that you have left, you have to use with all your might to battle. And so it's just such a sidelining and could be such a defining experience if you allow it to be.
Yes. And we don't have to allow it to be, right? And you certainly didn't. And I love that. All right. So you're going to all these doctors, right? And you get, and like you said, like they're kind of stepping stones. You do have some issues that you're, that you are real in your body, you know, your thyroid, your hormones, all of those things. And each one makes you feel a little bit better, but you're not, you're just treading water.
Mm-hmm. And what was interesting for me is like, all I'd ever really known is Western medicine. And that's all I was ever really surrounded by. And then when I got so sick after Israel, the situation demanded that I look in other directions. And that's when I discovered Eastern medicine and functional medicine. And I love and think that Western medicine is absolutely amazing and it has its place. And, but it just made me expand myself and my prism to be able to see that there might be other things out there that could help me differently. And then, like I said, I was managing better. So I felt better. But at the time, I didn't realize that it's not better enough. And I was managing a lot to feel okay. And then in the middle of all of this, I had this idea to write my first book called Kicking Sick, Your Go-To Guide for Thriving with Chronic Health Conditions. And I had this dream that
didn't even know you had Lyme.
No, not I didn't know till after the book was done, like came out and was
in that the is incredible.
Well, it's hilarious. It's like so ironic. I mean, seriously, I wrote a book about managing and living with chronic conditions, and I still didn't have the right diagnosis. So I am so proud of that book, and it's really a love letter from my heart to the one in two people in our country struggling with chronic illness. I put everybody I learned from, doctors, thought leaders, healers, other women with chronic illnesses in one place so that it could hopefully be a very inspiring guide for how to take your health into your own hands and how to not be defined by, like I said, such a sidelining experience, and how to make it transformational. And I was so proud of it. But the truth is that while I was going through press that really far exceeded my dreams for whatever could happen with the book, it blew me away. And I'm so proud of what happened and who I was able to reach from it. But I would go home every day and feel so exhausted. Like I would literally have a conversation with myself and think, how am I going to get up and do this appearance or do this promotion tomorrow? I don't know how I'm going to have the energy. And it was really in the press tour that I realized something is seriously still wrong. And after I had a really bad, now I know, Lyme flare up, and I decided I was going to muster up my courage, my strength, and my finances to go see my 36th doctor. And I know that you know this, and I know so many people listening. It's like to do it all again and to bring a Harry Potter anthology of medical records and to go to someone and say, can you please help me, just to only maybe be totally disappointed and heartbroken and feel invalidated again, was so painful to even think about doing. But I knew that I owed it to myself to do it. I owed it to my life. And I went back to my 36th doctor. He did all.
Hey, Amy, sorry, I'm going to stop you because that was such a powerful statement. And I just want to reiterate it to the listeners. We do. We understand this. We go through years of going to doctors and either, you know, making stepping stones with some things that may be off in your body, but not getting to the root or not figuring out that it's actually Lyme disease. We understand, right? I mean, Amy firsthand, she writes a book on how to just be okay and just deal with it, right? Like, gosh, that is so powerful. And so please, please, please do not give up. Don't give up. We know it's hard. We know it takes everything you have to try one more doctor, right? One more time, one more disappointment, but it might not be. It might be the one that you need. So I wanted to just reiterate that to the listeners because we get it, right? We don't want to go down that rabbit hole again, but timing is everything in this world. And if you feel the need, right, and you feel it in your heart that you know you can get better and that's what you need to feel, go for it. Don't sit back and don't sit back and just enjoy Amy's first book and live it, right? Not to diminish that book, because we want to empower people to do what you did.
I mean, it's really like the only person that you're you care the most about yourself, and you have to, and you know your body better than anyone. So if something feels wrong, it is. No matter what anyone says to you, if something feels like it's going on inside your body, you know it is telling you something. It is remarkably intelligent. And it told you enough that showed you were sick in the first place. So you need to listen to it and honor it and stand up for yourself, because you only have this life and it's so precious. And there's always something that you can do to make your quality of life better than how it feels in really bad moments. Always something, no matter what, even if it's so small, there's always something you can do. And I just was like, I know that I just don't have this figured out. So I went to my 36th doctor, and ironically, I had almost seen him 10 years before and went a different direction. And when he was done all the testing, you know, I remember so clearly sitting in that waiting room, waiting for to be called, and just worrying, would this just be another huge letdown again? And would I be left with all these vague answers and too many treatments and things that didn't actually make any sense again? And he was like, very calmly, in a very grounded way, said, I'm very clear what's going on. You have late stage neurological Lyme disease and two co-infections. And it was like every bone in my body knew it was true. Every cell in my body was screaming, this is it. And if I had given up on myself and I hadn't gone to him and I hadn't listened to my intuition, I might still not know.
Yes. And I know that you are a huge advocate for patient empowerment, right? And this is, that's a perfect example of it. And so can we pause for just a second and just share with the listeners just a little bit more about how important this is, right? We are not to allow the doctors to interview us and see if they want to take care of us. Right? We are the interviewer. We are in charge. So maybe just shed some light, share some tips or something that, you know, for those listeners that are really struggling right now, that really need to hear these words from you to take back their power.
Like I said before, nobody knows your body better than you. And Nobody knows what you need in a partnership to get better than you. So just because somebody says that someone's the best specialist or the best for this or the best for that does not mean that they're the best for you. And it's really important that you slow down and get very clear with yourself on what is necessary for you to feel safe and cared for enough to get better with someone. And what is important for me might be very different from what's important to you, but it's crucial that you get really clear with yourself about what you need from someone. And I talk to a lot of my clients about building their A team, which to me, I think that things can get so complicated so fast when you're struggling with really debilitating chronic illness. And if you're like me, you would throw spaghetti at the wall to see what would stick. I would be on so many things, I didn't even know what was doing what anymore. But so often patients with chronic illness and especially Lyme disease can feel like if they're flaring up, they're like free falling out of a plane without a parachute. And it is crucial to find the doctors and the healers and the support system to be able to be that parachute for you. And that all starts with you. You are going in and you're interviewing them to make sure that they meet your list. And there are so many questions you should be asking. Have they seen people like you before? Have they had success? What would they recommend to their family? Are they inventive and thinking outside the box when you come back in? Do they seem overwhelmed and like they don't have very many options for you? You want to just be really thorough. It's like going on a job interview. It's exactly what you said. You are interviewing them to see if they're a good fit for you. And there are so many doctors and there is someone for you. You just have to find them. But it's also so much more than that. And I know that you, Tanya, can like, I'm sure you can empathize with this, but healing requires all facets of you. And there are so many things that you as a patient can do to make yourself feel better. Diet is so crucial, and the way that you nourish yourself and the way you take care of your body and you lower inflammation, those are all things you can control. Movement, no matter, even if it's just light stretching, because I know what it's like to be debilitated with Lyme, or if you can exercise, you have the ability to put in all of these lifestyle practices that will actually nourish you and help you feel better. Ultimately, you go to the doctor and they tell you what to do, but it's really up to you. How am I going to show up for myself? And yes, you're the only one that can take you through the finish line. Would you say yeah, anything else?
That is so important to say, because you know, we all understand the financial struggles of this disease, and then just the pieces that just breaks us apart every time we have to check out one more doctor.
Yeah.
But just like you said, Amy, there are so many free things that we can do for our body. And I'm not necessarily saying a diet's free, right? We have to provide the food. But things we can do on our own. We don't need a doctor, right? We can nourish our body with what it needs, with what is healthy. We can, like you said, exercise, get some movement. If you are bedbound, I could still move my legs in bed. I could move my arms. We can do breathing exercises to help with our nervous system, our anxiety. If you're not bedbound, we can take cold showers. There are just so many amazing tools that you can do on your own. Mm-hmm. And I like that you said it starts with you, right? So here's my thought. You know, I'm pretty raw and I'm pretty real. But I can empathize with everybody listening, because I've been down this journey for 13 years. And just by what you said, Amy, I think that if you are not able to or are not willing to show up for yourself, don't bother wasting your time and money on a doctor. That's pretty brutal, I know, but it's the truth. We have to show up for ourselves, just like the volunteer I work with, you know, people helping them navigate their journey. I can't want them well more than they do.
Yes.
And I see that so often, and it's heartbreaking. So take a good listen, guys, because you are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge.
Yeah, and you're the captain of the ship.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, and I think that's...
You were preaching.
Yes, we don't talk about that enough, right? Because it is hard to say hard things. It is hard to hear hard things. But trust me when I say it's not coming from a bad place of my heart, right? Or I wouldn't be doing this show trying to help others and give hope and inspiration. But truly the bottom line is it starts with you.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. That's some good stuff right there, Amy. That is some good stuff. All right. Okay. So now we're going to go back. I just keep chopping up your story. I'm sorry for that. So now you're at your 36th doctor, right?
Yeah. So he gave me the correct diagnosis after decades of struggling. And I never really put the 14-year-old part with the 25-year-old part. But now that I know what I have, it's very clear to me that it was all interconnected. It's very hard. I mean, it's so hard to get that diagnosis. You know, I think in my head, if I'm being totally honest, I was always like, well, at least it's not Lyme. I used to think that.
Seriously?
And then, yes. And then he said, you have late stage neurological Lyme disease and co-infections. And everything inside my body knew it was true. Every part of me was like, this is why you fought so hard to get answers. And do you know what was so empowering about that? I mean, obviously it comes with, I don't need to tell you this, it comes with serious grief and it's very painful and it's daunting. However, there was something I could do about it. And yes, it wasn't just about trying to make myself feel as good as possible. I could now start to learn everything that I could do to get through it. And that felt very motivating for me. And Lyme has been really my greatest teacher in so many ways. And while I wouldn't wish it on anyone, I have learned so much about myself and reached depths within myself that I never, ever, ever would have tapped. I would never have begun a spiritual journey the way that I have. I would never take care of myself the way that I do. And now I love to do that. Even if I feel fully healthy again, I am going to still want to do those things because I'm in the right relationship with myself. And I think that chronic illness and Lyme specifically really shows you what you're made of.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're forced to be stronger than you ever thought possible, right? Mm-hmm. And I do say, you know, I got rid of my Lyme, then I went through a breast cancer journey, and I still, you know, and for the listeners that have followed me for years, you know, I lost my home in a fire in the midst of my journey. My whole town burned down. I've been through a lot, like many of us have, right? But there is no tougher battle than Lyme. There just isn't. Nothing can even shine a light to the journey that Lyme can take you down. It's brutal. We know it, right? And so I think that it's always good, and I love to hear my guests share that they learn so much from this journey, right? And we should. Like, let's not let those years go for nothing, go in vain, right? What is it teaching us? And it's empowering us as just a human and, you know, like you do, being a patient advocate or just being your own health advocate in general when you reach the other side of this journey. Mm. You have those tools in our toolbox, right? Use them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
I also found just, I'm curious if you had a similar experience, but for me, I never went down the antibiotic route because I have motility issues from Lyme and gut issues. And I really felt like I wanted to try herbs. And so that's what I primarily have done to this point. And I have had such a profound reaction to them. I mean, my doctor said to me at the time, it will be such an upward battle and you will fight and fight and fight and the treatment gets worse before it gets better. But then when you feel the effect of it, you will feel like you've reached a whole new apex. And I was used to having people tell me things and then it not really turning out that way. But I just trusted him and I believed in myself and I got there. And I remember that moment so clearly of feeling like I had a freedom and agency within me that I hadn't felt in so long, if ever. And it's funny because I say that I'm like Benjamin Buttoning because I love getting older because I feel younger and younger.
Yes. Oh gosh, I haven't heard that movie in a long time.
The experience of going through the treatments was so humbling because it really requires all of you to fight against this infection. And I found it really interesting because the pacing was ultimately up to me. And I ended up going a lot slower than I feel a lot of Lyme patients do necessarily. And it worked better for me. And it allowed me space and time and to be present with myself and not push myself farther than it was farther than my body was willing to let me go. And that had been such a habit for me as I would just go so hard and try anything and do everything and do way too much. And then I'd overload myself. But with these treatments, it's been healing for me in so many ways because I also listened to my body and didn't overload it when it felt like I was pushing it too hard. And I really could just kind of get into this dance with myself while I was doing the treatment that felt very supportive and like I felt grounded in myself, if that makes sense. I'm curious if you have any experience with the treatments and stuff like that and like things that have helped you too.
Yeah, I want to say a couple things on that. Going back to, you know, when you said you've heard so many things from so many doctors over so many years. We just don't pretty much believe anything that comes out of anybody's mouths, right? Because we're either being gaslit or they're wrong. And when you said that you believed your doctor when he said that to you and you believed in yourself, it is so important to have that relationship with your doctor. Because if you go into something, think of being, you know, who are these big professional boxers, right? Like you go into the rink and you're looking at this guy and you're like, oh, he's going to kill me. I guarantee you, you're not going to win, right? You have to have your mindset right. And so you need to trust whatever practitioner that you're working with. And that is why when you mentioned earlier in the show, Amy, about there is not one treatment protocol for everybody, right? And there is not one doctor for everybody. We all elude a vibration, an energy. You've got to match it with yours. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you'll know it. You just know it. You feel it. And it's so important to continue the search to find who you resonate with. So that I wanted to bring up. And then, yes, like you, by the time I got my diagnosis, I was 7 years and I was bedridden with a caregiver and I didn't know my name. And so I truly lost all hope in Western medicine. Again, there's a time and place for it. And if you have a fresh bite or a fresh illness, oh my goodness, I can't beg you enough. Get on antibiotics. I think that's your best choice. I might also throw in some other things, right? But antibiotics could be a game changer, right? For the rest of your life. So, but yes, I too did the whole, whatever you want to call it, holistic Chinese medicine, integrative health, right? Like I kind of threw everything at it. But that also was a good point that you brought up, that you went slow. Because I see so many times in the community that we finally get that diagnosis, right? And we just want to go in and kill it. And mm-hmm. I can assure you that you can overkill, you can over detox, you can over everything. Slow and steady can absolutely win the race. May not be as fast as you want, right? But you didn't get sick overnight mm-hmm. and you're not going to get well overnight. And I think if you press too hard on your body, you're going to take more steps backwards than you would if you stop and listen to your body. Yeah. And so some of these people are out there, and I'm not saying I didn't take handfuls of supplements every day or tinctures. I did. It was a full-time job keeping them straight and alarms going off every 3 hours taking this. And that is part of the process. But when I hear some of these people out there that are taking 100 things a day, whoa, like, I don't know, you know, I'm not a doctor. I can't say, but man, that just sounds really hard on your body. Mm-hmm. And our body is our temple. It's our vessel. You know, we have to help it. We can't just attack it and expect it to fight back, right? You yeah, attack it too hard, home. It's going to shut down.
Yeah, totally. You said so many valuable things.
Oh, this is such a great, like, seriously, I love diving into just all the aspects of it, because so many times we just talk about your symptoms and what you did to get well, you know, and as we both know, Amy, there are so many other levels to it, you know, that whole mind, body, spirit connection, mm-hmm. being, you know, being an empowered patient, you know, taking charge of you, and then even just going back to, if you don't want it, right? If you don't want it, if you can't do the simple things, the free things at home while you're looking for a doctor or while you're looking for answers, right? If you can't start working on yourself, you really need to start working on yourself, because mm-hmm. it's a tough journey. And so I think that that is just a fabulous starting point for a lot of people that are mm-hmm. in limbo and kind of waiting around to get a diagnosis, or waiting around for a doctor to believe them, or waiting around for the doctor to call you back, right? How often do we do that? There are many things that you can do at home to support your body, because you're in charge of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do handfuls of things. And so besides, you know, the actual like treatment protocol, as far as, you know, the different herbs and tinctures and everything that you took, what did like maybe some of your detoxing protocols look like? Because I know that detoxing can be even more important than killing.
Yeah, so for me, that has been absolutely completely crucial to my healing. And I have a lot of detoxification impairment because of Lyme. So I had to work extra hard to make sure I was eliminating everything. So, you know, it can be as simple at home to drinking a ton of filtered water, making sure that you're peeing a lot, sweating as much as you can, whether that's exercise or hopefully like maybe taking a hot Epsom salt bath, or sitting in a sauna if you have access to that. I love an infrared sauna. But also, you can just dry brush. You can buy a dry brush and make sure that your lymphatic system's moving, or sit on an exercise ball and bounce up and down. But you want to make sure that you're helping your body to eliminate all of the toxins that the medications are stirring up. And like, I found things like acupuncture or lymphatic drainage to be incredibly helpful. I realize that not everybody has access to that, and I feel lucky that I have. But like I said, there's so much you can do at home, you know, and I think it's been really crucial throughout my treatment, and I'm still treating one infection, but to really be thinking about it. How can I put in things that will help me eliminate today? What can I be doing a few things a day that could help my body to function better and to thrive and to get through this faster in a more supportive way?
Yeah, those are some great detoxing tips, and they are very important. You know, our bodies are also different from another, right? Like we're amazing beings that God created. Like he's a genius, right? But we're also different. And many of us also struggle with gene mutations, MTHFR. You know, I know at one point I had that. I no longer test positive for it. Thank goodness. But there are, you know, extra challenges that we can have when we're going through these protocols. And so find what works for you. Do what's available to you. But there's always, you know, if you're at home and you're wanting to lift some light weights, you don't have weights, get a couple water bottles out of your fridge, a couple canned food, something. You know what? Yeah. We can always make something work. Get creative. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of this journey is thinking outside of our own box, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be here today, because I had to open my eyes to a whole nother medical world or a whole nother world of healing that, to be honest, like it was weird. It was really weird. But it was ultimately what was my ticket. And so if there's a will, there's a way, right? Like that's an old saying, and there truly is. If you, you know, if you don't have an exercise ball, if you don't have a vibe plate, you know, I don't know, get a little massager, go on YouTube. How can I support my lymph nodes? Get a little massager, massage your lymph nodes. Like there are just so many incredible, amazing tools that you can do at home without the guidance of a doctor, right? And I'm not saying to treat without a doctor. I'm not saying that, guys. I'm just saying that there are so many things that you can do on your own to support your body that are also affordable, if not free.
Yes.
So many things. Oh gosh, Amy, we talked about so much. Did we miss anything? What do we need to throw in here?
Well, we were speaking earlier about, before this started, we were talking about the connection of the mind, body, spirit. Yes. And I think that's so important. So I thought, if it's okay, we could talk about that for a second.
Absolutely. I know it's supposed to be your show, but I jump in too often.
No, way too many times. This conversation.
I'd love for you to dive in that for sure.
I was just thinking that, you know, like we live in a culture in the West where we unfortunately don't see the physical as the same as the mental, emotional, and spiritual self. And when you're going through a health crisis of any kind, especially Lyme, it's really completely impossible to separate them. And yet we're within a system that often sees them as totally separate. And that's really detrimental. I mean, what is happening to you physically is affecting you in every other way, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's impossible that it doesn't. It's literally impossible. And if it doesn't feel like it is now, it will later. And so tending to your inner world, to seeking support if you feel that you need it through therapy, or there's so many different kinds of therapy, but just making sure that you have community around you, that you can talk about things to people, and that you have ways to de-stress and process what is happening to you is so crucial. And I was curious what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, it is. I think that feeling, yes, a lot of times I know for me, right, we're all different, but for me, like I didn't even know who I was, you know, so there was no way I was connecting any dots here, which is why this is fabulous, because I wish I had a podcast like this to listen to when I was going through my journey, right? We had to learn everything our own or the hard way, but they all do connect. They just really do. And I think when you were just talking about that, you need to feel safe, right? The world that we live in, it can be a scary place. There's toxic relationships. There's toxic work environments. There's so many things in this world that are toxic. And we are trying to eliminate those from our body, first of all, going through this journey. So not only do we need to eliminate them from our body, we need to eliminate them from our life. And that may include family members, a spouse that may be toxic for you, right? I'm not saying that, you know, they need to be out of your life forever. But if you can't feel safe in your home, in your body, I don't think you're going to get far, because it's a sacred place that you need to be. When we go through this journey, we are in that fight or flight mode all the time, right? Like our sympathetic system is so far off. And part of that is feeling safe. And if you're in a situation where there is no escape, right? Which I think that there always is, but if you feel like there's not, you know, there's affirmations, right? There are things you can do. You can wake up in the morning and you can tell yourself, I am safe, right? I am happy. I'm in a good place. I am protected. I'm healing my body. There are so many things that you can say to yourself, because truly we are, our brains will program the words that come out of our mouth, the thoughts that go through our brain, and the words that come out of other people's mouths. And that's why you want to surround yourself with people that are giving you good energy and releasing positivity around you, because that is what's going to help you build your safe environment.
100%. I totally agree with you. That's so wise.
The things we have to learn the hard way, right? I just never, we just don't think. And like you said at the beginning of the show, Amy, you know, we just go to the doctor and do what they say and we get well. And that's just kind of our life. And when we go through this journey, you really have to fight for yourself. And, but don't take it all in a negative way. Just remember what things you can be learning from this journey, right? That will take you into your future, that will bring you more power into your life and bring you a better life, right? By the things that we can learn. And so I know that I met a great guy on this journey, and I've always said, you know, it's okay to have a bad day. We all have it, but, you know, turn the page tomorrow, put your big girl panties on and fight. And he said something to me many years ago, and I just thought it was fabulous. So I share it a lot. It was from my friend Ricky. He says, no, there's no bad day. If you're waking up and all of your symptoms are so much worse than they were, and you're herxing or whatever it is you're going through, don't think of it as today's going to be a bad day, tomorrow will be better. Think of it as, my body is responding to what I'm giving it to heal my body. So I'm doing a little extra healing today.
I love that.
And right? What if you say I'm having a bad day versus my body is doing extra healing today? I mean, they are two totally different things. And you are going to have a totally different day based on how you want to word things to yourself. And so they're powerful. The words are powerful. Yeah. So use them.
That's so great.
All right, Amy, this has been just fabulous. So I know that we mentioned earlier in the show, and listeners, you know, I always put all the books or links or anything in the description of this episode. But again, I cannot wait personally to read your book, Kicking Sick, because I think it's fabulous that you just were so resilient to figure out even just how to live the way you were living, right? You didn't even have a diagnosis. You had no idea where this journey was taking you, Amy, and look at you. Like, it's just incredible. And then next year, 2026, your But You Look Fine book is going to be coming out again. Yes, love that title.
Thank you.
You help others be, you know, the patient empowerment. That is one of the things that you do, that you advocate for. I know that you're a health coach. I know that there are a lot of things that you do within this Lyme community. So can you just share real quickly with us what it is, how you can help us, how the listeners can find you if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah. So like you said, I'm a patient advocate and a health coach, and I work primarily with people who are struggling with invisible or chronic illnesses. And really, I started this in a functional medicine doctor's office because I could see as a patient the gap between the doctor and the patient in between appointments and how overwhelmed patients can get. And I've really built a program that I feel really supports the patient in getting well after the doctor appointment and how to implement and create a system that supports them instead of overwhelms them. And I think that everybody needs an advocate if they can have one in some way, even if it's just a loved one. So I primarily work one-on-one with people. You can find me on amykurtz.com or on my Instagram _amykurtz.
I love that. And that is a really important thing because we do, you know, we don't go to these doctors very often. Our time with them is limited to minutes, right? And then a lot of it is very overwhelming. We're trying to take notes. We've got brain fog. We can't remember things. Yeah. And then we're home and okay, we've got this, you know, and then a week later, maybe you forgot everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when do you go back to your doctor? And so what may happen?
Right.
Oh, I'll just quit. I'm just not going to do anything because I can't remember and I'll just start again next month. No. And so you kind of fill in that gap. I think that's an incredible idea.
Oh, thank you. I had been a professional patient and I'd also been a health coach in my last life, figuring out supplementing my acting career. This is before any of this happened. And then I just sort of merged the two together because I was in so many IV rooms trying to get better and I could just see this universal patient experience. And I think that everybody needs help. It's extremely emotional to go to a doctor and share everything that's going on with you and feel like there's time constraints and like you got to beat the clock, which, you know, it's stressful. And so to have anyone, even if it's a loved one there, to help make sure your questions are answered, to make sure that you have a proactive plan, and then the after of how to implement that plan and how to simplify it and also put in lifestyle practices that really support your body is so important.
Yes, it really is. Well, I appreciate you for all the things that you're doing out there, and especially just for taking the time to join me and share and just really bring some great insight for the listeners to just help them through this journey, right? Who better to hear it from than somebody who's lived it? So thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.